Before we get started, I want to take a quick second to talk about Strava Summit. In addition to hosting Athletes Unfiltered, I'm one of the writers on Strava's marketing team. But I used Strava for years before working here, and I even paid for a Summit membership before starting. One of the reasons I did was to be able to stay safe while running, even by myself, with a Summit feature called Beacon. Beacon works by sending a text when you start recording with the Strava app, either on your phone or now with Apple Watch. Whoever you text can see your live location as you run or ride and can tell if you're still going. It's also great when you're on your way to meet up with people and don't want to have to pull your phone out and text about how far away you are. A Summit membership is usually only $5 a month, but for a limited time, we're offering our Athletes Unfiltered listeners a chance to try out all 20 of the Summit features, including Beacon, for free for a full month. Just go to strava.com/podcast to sign up and start your free 30-day trial. Okay, now let's get to the show. This is Athletes Unfiltered. Stories from the Strava community. Oh, it's Safeway. I wonder if this does connect. I'm just curious. Let's see what's over here. So recently I went on this run around my office here in San Francisco. It was an exploratory run more than anything else. I went up and down a bunch of blocks and crisscrossed and U-turned all within 1 square mile. It was like I was lost, but I wasn't really. I've been a runner for about 15 years, and I've never done an easy run that was as unusual as that one. The route I ran that day was so wonky because I was purposefully trying to follow a specific route created by someone else. But we'll get back to that in a second. When I first started running in high school, we ran around the city streets of Providence, Rhode Island. Then I ran around Cambridge and Boston when I was in college. But since then, I've gotten a lot pickier about where I like to run. Now, if I have the chance to choose, I'd much rather be running on trail, away from traffic and crosswalks and noise.
We're getting into the street because the sidewalk was really full of a lot of weird stuff.
And I'm pretty positive I'm not the only runner who would much rather run in parks or green spaces or trails. It's just more of an escape, more of a chance to relax and zone out.
Watch out for the poop.
But to get back to the reason for my wonky run around the office, I'm new to San Francisco. I've lived and worked here for less than 4 months.
Okay, we actually should turn around now, according to the map.
And I figured I should try to get to know this one specific part of San Francisco better. And I decided to do that by running every single street near my office. If I'm honest, I was copying that idea from this guy named Ricky Gates. He's the one who really got me wondering, is it possible to get to know a place just by running it?
I'm sitting here with some of my drawings. And when I start to come up with ideas like this, I just kind of start tracing lines, maps, whatever it is that can keep the idea rolling along.
Ricky's a really matter-of-fact guy. He's in his late 30s with red hair, and he has a slight beard with this really big, bushy mustache. And doodling maps is kind of his thing. Apparently, it's just something he'll do to see how well he knows a place.
I committed myself to doing a drawing of the United States, a map of the United States, every single day for about 40 or 50 days without looking at a map, without cheating. And it was just so interesting to me to look at this map that I'd done, you know, every single day and find that, you know, these huge gaps in what I thought I knew about the country.
Some people would be fine not knowing about different parts of the country that they're from, but not Ricky. He figured the best way to get to know those parts of the U.S. was to run across them. So he did.
I left South Carolina on March 1st of 2017, and I arrived at Ocean Beach in San Francisco on August 1st. So it was a 5-month, 3,700-mile run across the country.
This is a video from the moment that Ricky finished his run. It looks like a scene out of Forrest Gump. There's this gaunt, bearded runner followed by a pack of supporters, And then he stops right in front of the ocean to address the crowd.
I lived here for 3 years and didn't get into the water one time.
Then he strips down and runs into the water. According to Ricky, there were a few reasons for his run across the country, but one of the big ones had to do with how much he's traveled in his life. Ricky is a sponsored runner whose various projects have taken him all over the globe.
Every single continent. But I was kind of realizing that, with all of this travel around the world, there's so much in the States that I really didn't know. And that goes for land and people.
Ricky is from Woody Creek, Colorado, a town outside of Aspen, and he tends to prefer smaller, more remote places. So when I asked him for an example of a place that he did know really well, he said besides his hometown, it was the South Pole in Antarctica.
I lived and worked in at the Muds and Scott South Pole Station for 4 months. This was maybe 8 years ago. I was washing dishes there. I got a job there because I really wanted to check out the continent. I heard about a race at the South Pole on Christmas Day called the Race Around the World. It's a 2.5 mile race. And
around the world.
Yeah, exactly. So you get to go through all 24 time zones. They used to do three laps around the station. I got there and I started asking around, why do we do three laps around the station? Why don't we make it one, big lap, one 2.5 mile lap around the station to incorporate everything out there? And the lady in charge handed me a map of the South Pole station, and she said, here you go, design the course.
Even at the South Pole, there was Ricky, crouched over a map, figuring out how well he knew the place, which turned out to be pretty well, since, you could circle the entire station in less than a mile. So Ricky has traveled to the ends of the earth, and as he learned from his run across America, it's not that easy to get to know people and places.
Did you feel like you got to know the U.S. when you were running across the country then? Like, that's kind of one of the reasons you did it, but was it successful for that reason?
Pretty much up until the day that I finished, or even a couple days afterwards, I did genuinely feel like I had gotten to know the States. But as I settled back down in San Francisco and returned to a more sedentary life, it just kind of occurred to me that, my run across the States was just a very, very thin line. I got to know just a thread of what the United States is, and primarily a rather rural thread. I didn't avoid cities when I was going across the States, but the reality is, if it's only 10 miles to get across Tulsa, Oklahoma, how much are you really getting to know that city just by running across it? You've got a sense of it, but the truth is that cities in particular, they need more time for us to digest what they actually are.
Which brings us back to the streets of San Francisco. Ricky had just finished his run across the States, and he was taking some time to rest and relax. At one point, he went up into the Berkeley Hills with some friends, and he was looking out over the city.
I don't know how the conversation came up, but I became curious about how many streets there were in San Francisco.
When Ricky Googled that question, up popped an article from the San Francisco Chronicle. It turns out that a journalist named Tom Graham had walked the whole city over the course of 7 years. And according to him, there are 2,612 streets that total nearly 1,300 miles.
Yep, it's a lot, but it's a lot less than going across the country. And I just really loved the experience that he had, and so I kind of followed in his footsteps, being a runner or a mover or someone that likes to do things a little bit quicker. I figured it was approximately similar to going from Denver to San Francisco, which I was familiar with. And I don't know if I committed myself right then and there, but I think that's when the idea came about.
The challenge Ricky had laid before himself was pretty straightforward. Run every single street in San Francisco. It's a pretty dramatic shift from threading his way through wide-open rural America. The idea was that instead of getting to know a thin line of a gigantic place, he would get to know the entirety of one place.
I thought it would be interesting, at least for me, to turn it into a project and treat it similarly to someone who's going after, say, the Appalachian Trail or the Pacific Crest Trail, and dedicate myself to it, 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and do it all in one go.
Okay, but there's only one Appalachian Trail. You can hike it north or south, but that's pretty much the extent of your choices. San Francisco, on the other hand, is a massive urban grid. To successfully complete his project, Ricky would have to cover every single city block. So just designing this run was going to be a feat in and of itself. In addition to the grid, there are 40 or so hills within the city limits, meaning there's a lot of ups and downs and arounds and overs.
Even before I started running the streets, I was looking at these maps, and you just have to kind of scratch your head a little bit and wonder why and how certain decisions were made.
The city was initially planned in a perfect grid that ignored all the hills. But over the years, there have been earthquakes and fires, and parts of the city have been redesigned and rebuilt. Different neighborhoods have different layouts, and matching them up leads to some goofy-looking routes. Market Street cuts a diagonal swath through part of the city, while Twin Peaks rises out of the city's geographic center and sends streets cascading down every which way. And Ricky's path would require some intricate planning when he got to these parts. And we haven't even gotten to the running itself. To travel 1,300 miles, Ricky would have to run between 8 to 12 hours every day, for 6 or 7 weeks. That's like 50 consecutive marathons, day in and day out. Oh, and there's 147,000 feet of elevation gain. So planning the run as efficiently as possible would be crucial. Ricky just couldn't afford to retrace any steps or find himself stranded in some industrial district at the end of the day.
So initially, at the beginning of the project, I looked at a map of San Francisco and tried to come up with some sort of game plan of how I wanted to go about clicking off sections of the city, starting out with the southwest side and moving over to the southeast side, and then kind of moving sort of like a printer would back and forth up towards the north end of the city, just kind of making sure that if you say you're going to run every single street, you better run every single street. It's a pretty simple objective.
With a bird's eye view of his route in place, Ricky took a break and went home for the holidays to Colorado. And while he was hiking on a nearby mountain, he happened to run into an old friend.
My name is Michael Odie. I am an assistant professor at the University of Maryland College Park.
Michael and Ricky ran cross-country together in high school, and now Michael works in robotics. And it turns out that as part of his robotics work, he studies motion planning and graph theory. So when he heard what Ricky was up to, Michael was immediately curious about the problem and how to solve it.
Definitely, yeah. It's a graph theory problem.
He said that mapping Ricky's route falls under a common mathematical theory, known as the traveling salesperson problem.
The original problem was to try to say, okay, you're a traveling salesman or person, and you have to go and visit all of your clients in all of the different cities, but you have to pay for fuel. So you want to use like the least amount of distance possible overall so that you can kind of do your work, save the most money, but still visit all of the cities. And that is really the only requirement for the traveling salesperson problem. Turns out that's really hard to solve.
For Ricky's run, it's even harder because he has to visit every single block, not just every part of the city. And there are two more additional requirements. First, he has to do a loop every day, start and end in the same place, so that he doesn't repeat any section. This allows Ricky to rest, eat, and get back to the van he'd be sleeping in each night. Second, he has to break the city up into neighborhoods and complete each one fully before moving on to the next. Imagine planning 50 different marathon routes that can't ever overlap. The point is, it was clear that in the daily mapping of Ricky's run, it would be important to not waste time and energy. The problem was, the data that Michael needed to make a fully accurate route plan, it just didn't exist. Stuff like dead ends, construction, closed streets, and pedestrian shortcuts were not on city maps. All Michael could do was give an estimation of the best route based on theory. He still needed Ricky to manually figure things out on the fly and then mark it on a map. And all of this stuff was kind of new to Ricky.
I almost never carry a map with me when I'm out running on the trails or in the mountains. So being so dedicated to mapping was a huge difference from what I'm accustomed to.
This is where there's a bit of a contradiction between Ricky's goals and the run itself. If you want to get to know a city by running the whole thing by a certain date, do you even have the time to stop and smell the roses or any of the weird stuff on the streets?
He is very interested in kind of getting a feel for the culture of the different areas. So neighborhood structure now is very important to what Ricky wants to do. And this is kind of a very interesting variant of this problem that I don't think has been really looked at before the way that Ricky wanted to look at that.
Which brings us full circle to the question Ricky was exploring. Can you get to know a place by running every square inch of it?
We're gonna go down that street, San Bruno. So,
armed with Michael's algorithm and plenty of maps, Ricky went for it. On November 1st, 2018, Ricky walked out onto the Golden Gate Bridge at the Marin County line and began his mission to run San Francisco.
I'm not actually all that outgoing of a person, but in order to get to know a city, you really have to be bold and talk to people because I mean that's the essence of any city is the people that live there. It was really exciting. I mean it was a daily thing, just meeting interesting people every single day. The smells were incredible. You know, all through the mission, you just have that delicious smell of tortillas and tacos, and then parts of the sunset and the Richmond and Chinatown. You've got all the different Asian foods.
Did you eat that stuff while you were running? Like, did you?
Oh, totally.
Stop and eat it all? Nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
What was the best?
Man, there was some delicious pho in the Inner Sunset. I used to live in the Inner Sunset, so I was really happy to get back there and go back to some of my old haunts there.
Did you go out of your way to talk to people while you were running, or did they come up to you because you were, you know, doing something a little strange?
So it was an interesting contrast from going across the country to running every street in San Francisco. When I was going across the country, it was very obvious when I'd go through a town that I was not from there, that I was doing something wild, and people were very curious. People would stop their car, get out of their car to talk to me. When I started running all the streets in San Francisco, all of that went away. There's nothing about my appearance in San Francisco that would encourage a person to stop and see what this person is doing. So it was much more on me to stop and talk to people and try and engage people, try and get a conversation going. When I'm out running in the mountains, when I'm running on the trails in the mountains or climbing a mountain, you know, it's always pretty obvious to me why I'm there. It's so pretty. So I can go on and on why you know, running in the mountains is just an obvious, pleasant thing for me to do. Running in the city where, you know, where you're encountered with poverty, with crime, you know, you're looking at some poor person's window got broken and all of their stuff stolen out of their car. You're really confronted with a lot of ugly parts of human nature, and especially human beings when we are packed into such a small area such as San Francisco.
I wonder what they're doing over there. One guy has like a street wheeler thing that you usually use.
Running around the office, following in Ricky's footsteps, I definitely got to know the area better. I saw a few places, but that was it. It felt pretty surface level. I saw the places, but I didn't necessarily come to understand them. I think that's something that just takes a lot more time.
Just the reminder to myself on a daily basis when I was doing that project, like, no, this is important for me to see. This is important for me to do, and to get the word out there to other people. You know, I think 70% of the U.S. population lives in cities, and so how can I contribute to people's sense of being, their sense of belonging in the place where they live, and not be a part of you know, this encouragement that we need to get in our car and drive somewhere in order to feel peace and tranquility.
This is what really struck me about Ricky's project, how important it is for people to make an effort to feel connected to the cities they live in, and not just spend their weekends trying to get out of them. As the run progressed, Ricky was generating a heat map of his route on Strava, and then checking it manually against his paper maps. His friend Michael was able to use that GPS data to keep him on track.
I like to think that when he's out there putting in a ton of miles, you know, knowing that somebody else is also obsessed about this problem and thinking it's really cool can be a nice thought maybe in the back of your head.
As it turns out, Ricky's running project might have done more than just help him get to know San Francisco. Because even though his work with Michael didn't result in a perfect route through the city, it did help improve the algorithm needed for the traveling salesman problem.
I am in the process of writing this into like an academic paper from an algorithmic point of view, like the problem that Ricky was solving as he was running through the city. So the variant on the problem that he has kind of posed here and that I found an efficient algorithmic solution to is something that I think is like very useful for just math and science and engineering kind of going forward. This is a cool thing.
In that sense, it's like Ricky's run doubled as a lab experiment, with Ricky as the most globe-trotting, map-making, elite runner lab rat of all time.
All of this stuff will be released open source from my end. Putting it out in the community for everybody to use is a very kind of, you know, democratized sort of way that we tend to do things in academia. So maybe the code that I developed would be useful to somebody else that didn't want to spend 3 hours a day agonizing over the shortest way to do it by pen and paper.
Agonizing over a map with a pen and paper isn't for everyone. But for Ricky, figuring out a new route was a new reason to go running.
I've been running for and racing for over 20 years at this point, and I'm kind of always looking for new ways to redefine what running is, what it means to me, and how to keep it interesting. These projects have become much more interesting to me in that it allows me to create my own parameters and define or redefine what's important to me about running. And for me, that's people, it's place, and myself. So it's those three things. You know, it helps me find my place in the world and in the community.
40 days and 1,300 miles later, Ricky finished his project. He was at the top of Twin Peaks, looking out over the city he'd just run. He knew it better, but maybe not completely. Maybe nobody can ever truly know a full city in its entirety. But Ricky tried. There are lots of ways to get to know a place, and most of them are way less complicated than running every street. But at least he wasn't on a treadmill.
This episode was written and produced by me, Jean Mack, and Alex Ward. Editing by Kyle McCall and Peter Frickwright. Music by Robbie Carver. Thanks to Professor Michael Audi for sharing his research. And thanks to Ricky Gates. Can't wait to see what your next project is. Athletes Unfiltered is powered by Strava. Strava is the best app for tracking and logging your runs, rides, swims, or hikes. It keeps track of the data from those activities and lets you share it with your friends, family, and training partners. And for athletes who want to use all of our best features, check out Strava Summit. With Summit, you can use relative effort, which shows if you've been training too hard or not hard enough. You can use Beacon to share your location during activities, and you'll get even more access to features that'll help you unlock your best performance. Strava Summit costs less than $5 a month. Think of it as just a couple of gels or energy bars. And for a limited time, we're offering our Athletes Unfiltered listeners a chance to try out all 20 of the Summit features for free for a full month. Just go to strava.com/podcast to sign up and start your free 30-day trial.